Hallelujah. Amen. So did you all have a good day today? Did you have a time trying to stay warm? Yes? No? Only the people that were outside? And the rest of us just ran back and forth to the car? Is that what it was? Amen. So is it going to get better tomorrow, Sherman?
I guess it's supposed to be a little warmer tomorrow.
A little warmer?
Rain.
That's what I heard. Mixed with this? Mm-hmm. Really? Interesting. You all better prepare, right? Mm-hmm. Prepare for the water that Sherman's talking about and the cold weather. Amen?
Yeah.
What we got? Pastor Adam has given me an assignment to teach on first fruit. Yes? We're gonna do that. But there's some things that I want to share with you first going into that, and it's still all about first fruit. Just looking at this year, 2015, you know, we came out of 2014, and during the, you know, the 5 days of glory, we were talking about our next. Well, some days, you know, coming, you know, just kind of preparing, getting ready for the new year. I believe that the Spirit of God started dealing with me, even if it was just for me, to start writing down some things and start, you know, making note of some things. And just in talking about first fruit, these are some things that also that I want to share with you. And you're going to see how that even first fruit will be a part of our being able to receive these things, okay? So if you're writing, just write 2015 and then write scheduling a next. 2015, scheduling a next. And next are in quotation marks, okay? We're having a little problem with our email. Just in talking, Pastor Adam and I were talking, and I told him that 2015, we really want to make it a stellar year. I mean, just a stellar year all the way around, not just for us personally or spiritually, but for the church. And for all of us as believers, we want to make this a stellar year. This 2015 in March, we'll be celebrating 30 years of ministry. Amen. That's a stellar experience by itself, you know. But also, you know, inside of that, some of you all have been just a real important part of all of that. Well, all of you all are. But when I say that, I mean some of you all have been here from the beginning, came toward the middle. You know, it's just been God all the way, right? And so we want to, inside of our celebrating, you know, these 30 years, we want to make this a stellar year. I know, and I think you know, all of us, even with the teaching that Pastor Adam have been doing on prayer, and I told him. He started the teaching in Baton Rouge, and then when he taught it here, I told him that it blessed me so much. I went to a class on Monday, and one of the questions that was asked was, had you been a part of a service on Sunday where you were prophesied to or that you prophesied to someone? And the teacher was trying to get everybody to see that they're, you know, prophecy can come in two different types, whether someone is speaking to you, just speaking to you directly, or you're speaking to someone else directly, or a prophetic word can come to you through the preaching of the word. When she said that, I said, oh, yes, I did. I received the prophecy through the preaching of the word. I did. When Pastor Adam said that the foundation of prayer or prayer has been established already in our spirit. And he said, and many times the reason why or if you are struggling with prayer is because you're not doing it from your spirit. You're not doing it from the inward man. That was prophetic to me. I accepted that, and I just said, okay, Lord, that's it. All of my prayer, Father, first, before I open up my mouth, before I do anything, I will make sure that I will connect with my spirit man so that he or that she, or however you want to put it, because I'm not going to say it, so that my spirit man will pray. It's when we try to find all the words in our head that we struggle. But our spirit man knows what to pray. Amen. So to me, I received a prophetic word for me that's going to carry me through the year. Amen. And, you know, it's not to say that we hadn't heard that before. It's just sometimes it's the way God comes back and say it again. And it's like, okay, that was good. That's what I needed to hear. So I believe that we're going to have a lot of those words in this year. That's just going to make this year a stellar year. If you look up the word stellar, you know, it'll say stars. It has something to do with the atmosphere. But it also, one of the words that it uses is heavenly. So in making this a stellar year, we're going to make this a heavenly year. This is going to be a heavenly year on so many levels. Amen. I told you all during the 5 days of glory that, you know, Dr. Hilliard said that 2014 was the end of that drought, end of that struggle, end of that financial bondage that kind of hovered over the economy, which we can pretty much see. That has lifted, because we're seeing some changes in the stock. We're seeing changes in gas. We're seeing changes in employment. You know, that thing is lifting. So all of us should stand ready to receive more. The next seven, you ought to proclaim with your mouth is going to be nothing but heavenly. Amen. The next seven. We've had 7 years of, whereas as believers, we stood in the light. But, you know, we did have some things that we had to just amen and thank you, Jesus, and have faith through. Right. But the next seven, we just believe that every door, every opportunity is going to be open to us, and we're going to walk in them in Jesus' name. Amen. So in scheduling our next, I don't know. If you do much planning or do much goal setting, but I can tell you this, that there are some next events that's depending on you to schedule them in your agenda. The events are just, they're just sitting there waiting. They're just waiting for you to schedule them in your agenda. They're waiting for you to say, I'm going to have this, and I'm not accepting anything else. Amen. The events are already there. God have already stood in 2015. He's already stood in 2015, and he's already made every provision for us to win. But now it's up to us. Amen. Even when Joshua had to go into the land of Canaan, God already told him the land is yours. But do you know what? The land didn't go to him, didn't come to him. He had to go in the land and get it. There's so many Canaan experiences that's waiting for us. Where will we schedule them on our agenda? Where will we schedule them on our agenda? Because they're there for us. Amen. Inside of scheduling our next, then we have to determine certain things. We have to ask ourselves, what are my areas of interest? I'm scheduling a next for my life. What are some areas of interest that I have? Number one area of interest for all of us should be our spiritual walk. Inside of that area of interest of our spiritual walk, God comes first. See, that's where that first fruit come in. You know, we know that the scripture in Matthew 6 and 33, it says that we are to first seek or seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. And then it said, all of these things will be added unto us. If we go back in Matthew 6 in the beginning, it tells us about that we should take no thought for what we'll eat, what we'll drink, what we'll wear. Because if God provides for the bird, that we are more important than the bird. And so if he provide for them, surely he will provide for us. And then he said, inside of taking a thought for what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, how tall you are and how many hairs you have on your head or how many you're losing, what can you do about it? I mean, what can you do about it? After you've grown as tall as you've grown, and you don't like it that you're not taller than that, by staying up all night saying, I wish I was 6 foot, won't add anything to you, right? So God says, this is what you do. This is what you do. Find peace at 5'10 and a half. Right? Find peace at 5 foot. What is Danielle? 4'5"? Where is she? She's not in here. Shoot, I had a fit. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't see her. She 4 what? She 4'10"? Oh, okay. She's got the daddy syndrome. Anyway, we're going to put him first. Amen. We're going to put him first. So our areas of interest spiritually, God, serving, that's inside of our spiritual areas of interest. God, serving, being a witness, our gifts, and education. There is, I tell you, you can't come in this house, I don't believe, and not receive education. Receive understanding. Amen? That's got to be important to us. Amen? Again, areas of interest, our spirituality, God, serving, being a witness, gifts, our gifts, and also education. We can't fight to stay the same and be dedicated to becoming better. You cannot fight to stay the same and be dedicated to becoming better. You're going to have to give one of them up. And I would hope it's the fight to stay the same. If we're going to be dedicated to becoming better, then we must fight to not be the same. If I came out of 2014 and I didn't experience all the things that I started out in 1-1-14, if I didn't experience all the things that I felt like that I should have, then there's some evaluation that I must take. And I'm not going to fight to do those same things in 2015 and then think that I'm going to be dedicated to becoming better. It was whatever I was doing or was not doing. And then sometime we do make some changes, but we don't do enough of it. And that's why I didn't see a full manifestation of what I wanted, because I started out doing it, but I didn't do it for the long haul. Y'all know what I'm saying? You know, it's like what they say about the gym, or people with a workout regimen. The beginning of the year, I'm doing it. The gym, they have all kind of new memberships. But it used to be they say in the next 6 months, but now they're saying at the end of January, you don't even see the people anymore. You know what I'm saying? So it wasn't that you didn't start off something good. You didn't continue it through the long haul. And then you know what we do? You know, it's, oh, I got so much to do. Oh, you know, I can't. You're going to have to stop fighting to stay the same. You're going to have to fight to be different. So right when I want to say, oh, you know, tonight I'm not going to go, start jumping up. Don't think about it again. Jump up and go. Before you know it, you're there and you're working out. Right? Spiritually, we're talking about interest, right? We do the same thing with church. Oh, I'm not going to go tonight. Time you think that, jump up in. Before you know it, you're here sitting down. You're so glad you came. Right? Man, sometimes, do you know what defeats us the most? Not the matter of getting where you're going, sitting there thinking about it. That junk will tear you up. But if you just ignore it, get up and do it, it's like, oh, well, that wasn't that bad. It wore you out just sitting there thinking about it. Oh, Lord, do I want to go? Oh, Lord, do I feel like doing it? Get up, get in the car. You go. Huh? Tonight, Yarny and I were talking. Somebody, you know, they were supposed to come and pick me up. And they just went around in their head about coming to pick me up. And I said, they act like they have to carry the car on their back to come and get me. But you know, we do that, all of us. You're just sitting there and it's like, get in the car. Just get in the car. Get in the car, turn it on and go where you got to go. You ain't got to go out there and put it on your back and run with it. Just get in the car. Honey, if some of the people who lived back in Abraham day and all of that, they would slap us backwards. So you are the most ungrateful people. Do you know what we had to do? The camel ride? Making sure we had a good sacrifice? Doggy, y'all don't even have to bring a sacrifice. You bring yourself. And y'all act like y'all got this big chore. We got to quit giving our excuses, giving ourselves excuses to be able to stay the same, but still we want to be more. If we want to be more, then we have to do more. If we want to be better, then we have to do better. It won't come with the way you've been doing it. And you'll be years, it'll be, what is this, 2015? It'll be 2020. And we're still, it's not a new goal. It's been the same goal for the last 20 years. What? Oh, what? Go back and look at your journal for every new year. If you're writing the same thing over 2015, lose this weight. 2014, lose this weight. 2010, lose that weight. What did I change in the year? Well, I wrote it down. Didn't it say write the vision? But you didn't make it plain. I gotta write more than lose this weight. Make it plain to me. And you're writing it to yourself, right? Hey, that's all of us now, y'all. All right? Right? We're not talking about, we're talking about all of us, right? 2015. Be on time. Go back to your other journals. 2010, be on time. I'm still trying to be on time. What plan did I have to be on time? Nothing. I just wrote be on time. We've got to have a plan. You can't fight to stay the same and be dedicated to becoming better. We need to spend less time justifying our ways and more energy toward the change. Less time justifying our ways. Well, the reason why. Well, the reason why. Well, if I didn't have, you're justifying your ways. You can't throw the children away. You can't get rid of your husband or your wife. Because, you know, we always got to find somebody the reason why. You can't, that's a part of your life. You've got to work a way to work it. To work it. Right? I was about to say work around it. You can't work around it. You got to work with it. Right? Time, we're really having a problem with time. For those of you all who are not here for 10:15, I'm talking about on Sunday. You wouldn't even know how empty it is in here. I think it kind of fill up around 10:30, 10:45, 11 o'clock. Do you really think God's looking down saying, they are so eager to worship me? Do you? You think he's saying that? I don't. Matthew 25, it talks about these 10 virgins. Called five wise and five foolish. All of them were waiting for the same thing, the coming of the Lord, right? Can you even guess why five of them were foolish? Bad time management. Oh, did Jesus talk about us? Bad time management. Scripture says that they all believed he was coming. And it said that then the trumpet and it and the coming of the bridegroom, and then the five foolish, they all got up, and the five foolish found out that they didn't have enough oil for their lamps to go and meet him. So they told the five wise, hey, give us some of yours so that we can make sure. They said, all we have is enough for us. You better go back and go buy you some. Well, by the time they went to go and buy them some, Jesus had come and gone. Bad time management. If Jesus was coming on Sunday morning for 10 o'clock, how many of you all would be here? See? That's the ones that's normally here. When praise and worship start. Why is that an issue? Because we can't fight to stay the same and be dedicated to becoming better. Can I honestly say that I'm really doing good with my time if I can't get anywhere on time? No. No. But think about it. What did Pastor Adams say? He said that on Sunday morning, if we're going to miss, or even on a Thursday, if we're going to miss, we start probably Wednesday night or Saturday night contemplating, oh, you know, we're trying to feel if there's a cough. Wait, did I? I feel heat. Let me check the weather. Rain. Can't do it. I'm fighting to stay the same. So there isn't actually any dedication to becoming better. Well, I'm not trying to be sick, but I got to be ready for Monday. So if I go out Sunday, I won't be ready for Monday. But when something come crashing down on you, you don't want God to think about Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, what day it is. All I know is time for you to help me out, Lord. And see, he's not like us. I know before we were taught that, you know, that if you don't do right by God, he's not going to do right by you. So if you stay sick, that's your business. That's not the way God handles it. I promise you, that's not the way he handles it. He is so merciful to us. He really is so merciful to us. Amen. But he really would want us to love him for him. Well, I'm going to go because if I get sick, I want him. No, he don't even want you to go for that reason. He wants you to come because of the worship that you'll give, that we can give as a body. Do you know we are a community of believers who get the privilege to do life together? We get to do this. We don't have to do it. We get to do it. The scripture says Abraham and all of the patriarchs, they longed for this time that we have. We get to do it. Oh, Lord, I have to. You already messed up. You don't have to do this. You get to do it. If Adam said, oh, Lord, I have to love this girl, you could keep it. Right? You get to do it. Watch yourself. Amen? Huh? Your children don't want you to think, oh, I have to babe these children. No, you get to babe those kids. You get to love those children. You get to raise them. Amen? Huh? We really got to get our necks together. We have to place it on our agenda. It's going to be better. Huh? I'm going to have better. This is going to be a stellar year for me because I am no longer justifying my ways. I'm going to do better. I am using the first fruit principle, which is I'm putting first things first. And I'm making the main thing the main thing. Huh? You know why I'm late? Because I throw so many things in. I'm not keeping the main thing the main thing. I'm not sitting down making my agenda so that I can be a wise time manager. I know what Thursday is, so don't schedule so many things that it's going to make you late. I know what Sunday is. Then make your Saturday nights, make them holy. What does that mean? Committed to God that, you know what? I know how I am. So on Saturdays, I'm not going to stay out till 2 in the morning. Well, I'm just saying, you know, whatever, that you can't get up. You know, some of you, oh, I can't get up. Well, whatever that keeps you from being able to get up, you know Sunday morning is committed to him. Then give it to him. Be on time. Be on time so we can timely do everything. Can you imagine if you were part of the praise and worship team and you're out and, man, you've rehearsed and you put in time, the band, you put in the time, and then there's like 10 people that's here for praise and worship. And by the time that it's over, when we're greeting everybody, like the other 50 people are coming in through the door. That's not good. You all think that's good? It's your party. It's your party. You invited all these people to your party. And everybody comes after the singing, after the cake and all of that. And it's time to go home. What would you think about that guest? They didn't think enough of you, did they? To be on time to your party. Would you invite them again? Tell the truth, Sherman. No, you wouldn't invite them. Huh? Next year when you have your party. Hmm? They're not coming, are they? Eat there. But thank God, God's not like Sherman, right? Next Sunday, he throws the party again. And he sends the invitation to you again. Huh? We all growing, Sherman. Hey, because, you know, if we just be honest, all of us would kind of think about that, right? Jesus talked about that also. Jesus told him, he said, go out and invite him to my son's wedding. You remember that? He said, go out and invite him to my son's wedding. Man, they came back and they said, you know, I told him, you know, that you're providing food, drink, and everything else. Big party. You even got the band, DJ, everything. They said they don't have time. They can't come. Jesus said, you know what you do? You go out in the highways, and yes, there is a byway. Go out in the highways and the byways. He said, get the lame, get the sick, get the cripple. Tell them come to the party. He said, the well don't want to come to my party. So you know what? Get the sick. Get those just tell them come. Get the blind. Bring them all. Huh? That's how we got in. Jesus was talking about that. He extended invitation to the Jews. They said he didn't come the way he wanted. So he said, okay, go get the Gentiles, the sick ones. Tell them, come to the party. Huh? I know, huh? I'm so glad. Amen? But you know what? He's still doing the same thing. He's still saying, come on, you all, why don't you come to my celebration? I've got the singing. I've got the band. Hey, my presence will even be there to meet your need. And I know, man, you're talking about temptation. We are living in a time of such temptation because the technology is so vast that, you know, we could have our own praise party sitting in the living room. Right? But until he shut down a local church, we're in disobedience. As long as the local church is still established, if we're having church at home, we're in disobedience. Church at home is for the people who can't get to church. Church at home is for the sick and shut in. Y'all remember the sick and shut in list, right? Can I tell y'all that there was this guy who's suing the church that he's in because he was put on a sick and shut-in list? You don't have to worry about a sick and shut-in list here. No, he didn't want to be on the sick, even though he was sick and shut-in. He's upset because they put him on a sick and shut-in. I guess he didn't want nobody to know he was sick and shut-in. Y'all know what I'm talking about when I say sick and shut-in?
Yeah.
Meaning they sick and they can't get out. They shut in. Right? We never had a sick and shut-in list. We'll never will have a sick and shut-in list. Amen?
Yeah.
Huh? If you're sick, yeah, call for the elders and they'll come and pray for you. But we're not going to stand up and have nobody read a list saying, this is the sick and shut-in. Then we just call their names out. And really, I think they felt like that was a way of acknowledging. And I would hope to have us to pray for them. Right? My mom was in the hospital like some years ago, and she was on their sick and shut-in list, and they sent the prayer lady out. She grabbed my mom's hand and she said, Miss Massey, let me pray for you. And she said, dear Lord, help us, Jesus. Help us, Lord Jesus. Lord, thank you. You are God. And Lord, you know about my grandson. And she started praying about her grandson. She started praying about her children. Look what my mom said. Yes, Lord, help her with her children. I said, now, you know, this is ridiculous. She should have prayed about her grandson at home. How you come to the hospital and pray? Not mama, she praying for her. You know, when she did start crying, she said, oh, Miss Massey, thank you so much. I said, Ma, get out the bed. Let her get in. This is crazy. That's just not good. Just get out the bed, Ma. Let her get in. I mean, just that. Listen, we cannot justify our ways. Amen? We've got to spend more energy on or toward change. Areas of interest. What about our natural? Another area of interest are our natural things, like education, like new skill development, being more employable, stability, character development, health, responsibility, and health education. God is the healer, but as far as our health, we're responsible for that. He is our healer, but we are responsible for our health. Amen? Keeping our health in place. We're responsible for that. We're responsible for doing the right things. I was telling Pastor Adam just today, I was listening to something, and they were talking about it doesn't matter how much you eat, trying to keep your diet where fruit and vegetables are concerned and doing the right things, we still won't be able to have the capacity for the right amount of minerals for our bodies. Only because all of the fruit and vegetables that you will eat, they're 75% of them have less of the mineral, 77% of them have less of the minerals needed. I thought they were going to say that they could only give us 77%. They said, no, it's less 77%. So that makes 23. We'll only be getting 23% of what we need from the fruits and vegetables. And you know the reason for that? Because they're depleting the ground. Yeah. They're depleting the ground. The ground can't give. It can't produce it. And the reason why it can't produce it is because of the population and because of everything being speeded up, that the ground can't have the rest that it needs. It's constantly being turned over, constantly being turned over. So it's depleted of its minerals, so it can't provide the minerals in the fruits and vegetables, right? So we have to supplement. We must supplement. That's where we become health responsible. He is our healer, but there's a health part that we have to become responsible for. We have to be willing to find good supplements for ourselves. And the best supplements for us are the liquids, because the pills have a problem with the breakdown. And most times we don't get the 100% that we need. But if we do liquids, it will go straight to our system. Amen. What is that one? The five alive or the something? Is that what it's called? Something alive. That was one of them. 700 Club was talking about it. And they were saying that that was one of them with the in a liquid that we it can supplement us with the minerals that we need. Vitamin D being very important, but nobody wants to stand outside. So we have to supplement it with a vitamin D. Amen. But see, those things become important. And God's not mad with it. Say, okay, so if you're drinking that, so you don't believe for healing. I can believe for healing, but I'm responsible for my health. What I'll do to keep myself healthy. Amen. So that's all of these things. I have to schedule a next for those. My next relationship. Where do I have that schedule at? On my agenda, my relationships, meaning my family, my marriage and dating. If it's important to me, then it has to be scheduled on my agenda. If there is a next thing that I want for my family, then where do I have it scheduled on my agenda? If I want my marriage to go to another place, what do I have scheduled on my agenda to help it? If dating is something that's important to me and, you know, I want to be active in that, then where is learning how to? Where is that schedule at on my agenda? Social relationships, friendships, new acquaintances. If I want to get more solid relationships, friends, become acquainted with new people, then where do I have that schedule on my agenda? And in scheduling on my agenda, then what strategies, what plans am I using to get it done? And then financially, because I want to get to these scriptures so you all can write them down. Then financially, everybody said, oh, you know what? I'm going to the next level in my finances. I'm going to the next level in this. I'm going to the, where's the schedule on your agenda to be better, to have better? We're going to have to do more than just say it. Thank God for the confessions. But when we really have confessions, we need to expect the Holy Spirit to give us the wisdom to do it. All the time, I tell you all, when Pastor Adam said that about how that every morning, you know, he gets up and he says he thank God for long life and good days and that God have given to you. Is that right, Adam? Psalms 91, he's given you long life. Love it. Satisfied me with long life and show me his salvation continually. Okay, with him making that confession, he satisfied him with long life and show him his salvation continually. And salvation, you know, that don't just mean I'm saved. That means wholeness, soundness, nothing missing, nothing broken. When you say salvation, you tell him, take my life, right? Complete it. Well, he started making that confession, and then he said with that, the Holy Spirit started telling him, stop eating that. Stop eating this. You can't do that. You can't do this. Start walking. Start doing that. Well, when you make the confession and become a part of your spirit, well, then God's now going to help you to fulfill that. You can't say, God satisfy me with long life and great days, and you eating the whole pig. You can't. What? Can't do it. He didn't give me the long life. You're looking at it. You die. Had a stroke, you go to God and say you didn't keep your word. He said, why'd you, what? Really? You ate the pig. Come, what? And choking saying long life. That's not on God. You know what I'm saying? That it's amazing how foolish we make God seem. That we could do all of this and then just think and then tell him he didn't do what he said. He did everything he said. Amen. Make the confessions. See what the word says. And then expect the Holy Spirit to help us to do it. The scripture says he is our helper. Right? He is our helper. He is our teacher. So he will teach us and show us how to do it. Amen. Financially. There is a next in my finances. Meaning there will be an increase. An increase of job. Increase of harvesting. My tithing and seed sowing, purposeful giving, getting out of debt, job promotion, and self-employed. See, this is a part of my schedule next. These are my areas of interest. Now, Sunday, Pastor Adam said about our first fruit and how for some people, you know, some people give the first day, some people give the first week, some people give the first month. You know, and then he said, for some people, the first day is like maybe $70, $60, $70, $70, $80. And then he got up to that, you know, somebody's first day may be $1,000. When he said that, Zena, I said, I receive it. Thank you, God. My first fruit is $1,000. I said, I will be a first fruit giver who will give $1,000, because I will make $1,000 a day on the inside of me. You know what I heard? And in heaven, that's minimum wage. I said, okay. Well, I'll start off with the minimum wage. In heaven, $1,000 a day, that's minimum wage. It's got to be. Streets of gold? Leave me alone. And I know we'll flip out $1,000. God said, that's not even nothing. $1,000 a day? That's minimum wage. Hey, that's my goal. Amen. And then I'm going to get up to big time. But $1,000 a day, I'll take that. Right, Elise? Will you take it? That's my first fruit. $1,000. Amen. Look at Proverbs 16 and 9. Now, these are areas of interest. This is going to be a stellar year, you all. This is going to be a stellar year. It's going to be heavenly. Amen. Proverbs 16 and 9. Do we have the New King James? No? Okay. It says, a man's heart deviseth his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. This is what the New King James says. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. What did we just say? Man, we are scheduling our next. We're scheduling. We're placing these things on our agenda. So guess what? We're doing what the scripture said. Our heart is planning our way. But with that, we're looking for the Lord to direct our steps. Amen. And I know you all heard this one where God asked this guy. What did he say? That he told God, this guy said he told God his plans, and God started laughing. Know why? Because even with our best plans, God has better. But he still wants us to make a plan. Even though he has better, he says, still make a plan. You got to make a plan. Amen. Proverbs 15 and 22. The scripture says, without counsel, purposes are disappointed. Is that right? Without counsel, purposes are disappointed. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. The Message Bible says, refuse good advice and watch your plans fail. Take good counsel and watch them succeed. Inside of our making the plan, inside of our writing it down and scheduling our next, we are trusting, we are so trusting the Holy Spirit to be a counselor to us. The scripture says that he is. And so in that, we will watch our plan succeed because we won't fail to take his good advice. And can I also tell you that along with the Holy Spirit being the one that will counsel us, always listen inside of the teaching and the preaching of the word. Listen for the counsel of God through the word of God. Amen. Because you can sit right there and the preaching and the teaching of the word is going on and God's counseling you right there. It's like, that's it, God. I received that. That's what I needed to know. Amen. Then Proverbs 16 and 3. And it says, put God in charge of your work. No. What was that? That's good. How many of them? Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Amplified, that was good. Roll your works upon the Lord. Commit and trust them wholly to him, and he will cause your thoughts to become agreeable to his will. And so shall your plans be established and succeed. What does the Message Bible say? Oh, I have it. Put God in charge of your work. Then what you've planned will take place. Okay, write this down. They can flip it for you. Proverbs 16 and 9. Proverbs 21 and 5. Proverbs 28 and 2. And then 1 Corinthians 2 and 10. Proverbs 16 and 9. Proverbs 21 and 5. Proverbs 28 and 2. then 1 Corinthians 2:10. All of these will help us to schedule our next. Amen? There is a next that has to be scheduled on our agenda. We're not going to just sit back and just say, okay, sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. God said, make it happen. Put it on the calendar. Put it on the agenda. And he will give us the wisdom. He will give us the understanding how to bring it to pass. And also to look for it, to have an expectation for it. There are some things that the reason why we didn't get them is because we didn't have an expectation for them. And even when he tried to introduce them to us, we didn't grab it. We didn't, because we weren't looking for it. Amen? We weren't expecting it. But he wants us to be an expectation. Amen? Because he has things on his agenda for us. He knows the plan that he has for us. And it is a plan to prosper us and not to harm us. And it is a plan to give us a future and expect it in. Amen? Amen. Amen. God bless you. Tonight is a good night to have. Amen? Amen. And we're expecting great things. How many of you agree? This is a stellar year. Is that going to be in our mouths? This is a stellar year. Amen. Stellar meaning we expect the stars. We expect the heavenly. Amen. In this year, we expect the manifestation of the things of God to take place. Amen. So don't be afraid to write it down. But along with writing it down now, make sure you ask God for the plan, the strategy to get these things done. And you'll be rejoicing because you'll find that God had it in his plan and on his mind all the time. Amen. Amen. Pastor Adam? No, we want to receive the offering. Amen. Amen. Well, it's opportunity time. We're starting Sunday with our first fruit offerings. Amen. First fruit. We're realizing that we are giving God the first of our increase in this year. So I think you said except for the people who get paid once a month. Amen. But inside of our giving the first fruit, we're following that first fruit principle, that whatever we give to God first, he blesses it, and then it blesses the whole. Amen. That's why first fruit is so important. That's why Sundays are so important, because it is the first day of the week. And do you know that whenever we come together on Sunday, you've just first fruited your week? You've given God the first day. And so because you've made that holy to him, you're telling him, this is the root of my day. And so now, Lord, I expect that you're going to bless the rest. Amen. 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 So